Okay, and it's movie reviewing time again. Very similar to our review of the Baby Cart series.
Yeah.
This is actually kind of going to be a review of a whole, well, part of a whole series.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think we can probably cover pretty much all four movies. The fifth movie of James Bond, they're making it now. And we really can't in detail cover each plot of each one of these movies.
Because they're very complicated.
Yeah. I just want to recommend this series of movies. The new Daniel Craig James Bond series is so much better than the older ones. And I'm a James Bond fan.
Yeah, you are.
There's a lot more to these movies than meets the eye, really. You know, you think, well, you know, on a show like 13 O'Clock, why the hell would we bring up James Bond, of all things? But there's a lot of little occult knowledge and gnosis inside James Bond. There always was.
Yeah.
Going back to Ian Fleming. In an interview, Ian Fleming was once asked, what religion is James Bond? And he answered, Manichaean. And the Manichaeans were Gnostics. And there's a lot of symbolism and occult symbolism in a good James Bond movie. Now, you know, I haven't seen all James Bond movies. I don't know if they all had symbolism in them. But pretty much all of these new ones do. And that's kind of like true to the source material.
I definitely feel like the more recent reboot of the James Bond series starring Daniel Craig, it's simultaneously a modern updating of the character, but is also
it's closer to
the novel character that Ian Fleming initially conceived.
It's very true to the source material or the intent of the source material. That'd be probably a good way to put it. The guys that wrote these scripts and directed these movies, and they weren't all written and directed by the same people.
No, it was generally the same, you know, group of people, but...
But these guys here knew their shit. They know their Bond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they knew exactly what they were doing. And Daniel Craig, if you ask me, is the best James Bond. I think he's even... Some people say, oh, man, but Connery... Nah, not really.
Well, and honestly, the more I read, because I've been reading a lot about all four of the movies, because I wasn't sure, like, what the... critical receptions of them were at the time, because I don't really remember.
Yeah,
like,
I saw them
and stuff.
Yeah, and I don't really care.
But
I'm just saying
that when Casino Royale came out in 2006, I didn't realize, but although initially when Daniel Craig was first announced that he was going to be the James Bond, the new James Bond, I think Hugh Jackman was kind of the only other one that might have been, which he would have been a good Bond too, I think, but... some people were like, well, he doesn't really look like the Bond. He's not like tall, dark, and suave.
That's
and all
not
that
who
kind
Bond
of stuff.
Was.
But
the
then when the movie came out, everyone was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's James Bond.
He's like the best one. And you're not the only person that said that. Like a ton of critics said that.
Okay,
like,
good.
When Casino Royale came out, it got pretty much universal awesome reviews.
Oh,
they were just like, this is like everything everybody wanted.
Yeah, I didn't know what
he's such a good Bond. It's like, you know, it's like I said, it's like an updating of the character, but it's also an homage to the past. And I think people were really, really happy with it.
Now, when I was coming up, you know, I was playing, you know, James Bond 007 GoldenEye on N64. Some guys in there are laughing, but everybody knows that. It was like one of the first really good first-person shooters. You know, I was into the Pierce Brosnan Bond. And Pierce Brosnan, I thought at the time he was a pretty good James Bond. Until he took his shirt off. Because... He did have a good look to him.
Yeah.
But he's climbing on the side of the trains. He's fist fighting all these guys, and his arms. When I see his arms, man, I could blow.
Well, you didn't quite buy it.
You couldn't buy it. All right. Now Daniel Craig, his shirt
you
off.
You can buy.
You
that
can go,
he can do that.
That dude can whip some ass. Yeah.
Well, because here's the thing, and again, we're talking about the first one in the series that came out in 2006, Casino Royale, which has actually been made. It was made into a movie before. It was actually made into a TV show before too, like a TV episode before also. So something that they wanted to get back to, they said the problem with the Pierce Brosnan ones, and no one's shitting on Pierce Brosnan.
He was a good Bond. Yeah.
But they said, well, the problem was, as his series of movies went on, because he was in four of them also, that they became too reliant on digital effects, that there was too much product placement.
Yeah.
In fact, Die Another Day was often criticized as Buy Another Day because there was so much like obvious product placement in it. I think, too, this was something interesting that Roger Ebert said, like comparing the new Bond films to the old ones. He said, you know, the Daniel Craig Bond is the first Bond films that actually seem like human people with human emotions and human reactions. It's like it seemed like
the old ones were very superheroish.
Yeah, very a little cartoony. Not that they were bad, because I liked a lot of the old Bond films, but they're the characters are kind of cardboard. They're more caricatures than people.
But that was almost kind of the way things were at the time. I mean,
that was the style.
The Die Hard series was like that, and that was a very popular series. You know, it was very much in line with American action movies. This was like a British take on the American action movie with 007 as the hero, and it was they were kind of like the Marvel movies of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were very superheroish, but not the Daniel Craig Bonds. The Daniel Craig Bonds are, I would say, a little bit more influenced by, like, the Jason Bourne type.
Yeah.
The Bourne
series. Like I said, you're not the first one to make that comparison.
But I really couldn't buy that Matt Damon was doing what Jason Bourne could do. Craig, though, all right, because here's the deal. Brosnan and Matt Damon, when you look at them, you go, those are actors. When you look at Daniel Craig, Daniel Craig to me does not look like an actor.
Well, he's not.
He looks like an athlete / boxer.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
He's not pretty.
No, but he's good looking.
But he's good looking.
Yeah.
In a rugged, kind of pockmarked, like you said, like a boxer, like a fighter.
And that's the way Bond was described
in
the source material.
Yeah. And like, he's still sexy, but he looks like a scrapper.
I think he'd whip your ass.
Right.
You know, he does
and I
have
think
some,
that that
yeah.
was a good choice.
James Bond was supposed to be an ex-SAS guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was put into this British intelligence agency. And he was a fighter first. He wasn't a model or an actor.
Right.
You know, and that's what Pierce Brosnan and Matt Damon, they look like models and actors to me, you know. And James Bond went too much that direction for the movies, you know, in the movies.
Right.
So they had to take it back to what the book said he was. The book said he was a soldier. Now, Casino Royale was awesome, all right? Because the meaning of the very... It was kind of like, in a way, Batman Begins in the beginning of the new Batman series. It was... The movie was like the creation of the Bond that you know. And what Bond had to learn as a man or as an agent was how not to kill. He was a killing machine from the very beginning.
Yes.
And he did not... They never actually played the James Bond theme until the very end, when he did not kill a dude that he really wanted to kill. That's when he became Bond. All right. And then from there on out, in all the other movies, they would actually use the James Bond theme song at certain times. In Casino Royale, they didn't.
Yeah.
Not until the very, very end, and I love that.
Well, because like I said, Casino Royale, because this was coming off, you know, a whole reboot of the series, so they kind of wanted to showcase how Bond got to be Bond, how he got his 007, how he got his license to kill, and how he was still kind of inexperienced.
Yeah.
But that was kind of like the character arc, and then at the end of the movie, they're like, okay, he's arrived, and now we can go on from there. And it also kind of had the whole thing with Vesper Lynd, you know, the woman that he loved and how he thought she betrayed
Le
him
Chiffre.
And all this other.
And then there's a bunch of symbolism in there. Le Chiffre, actually, they're talking about the cipher, and the bad guys in all these movies are not overpowered bad guys. They're cogs in a bigger machine. They have their own network of bosses that they have to answer to. And there's a bunch of stuff happening. MI6 knows from the very beginning that there's some kind of organization acting from the shadows that they don't even know what it is or what it's called. Eventually, in the movie 4, they realize that all these villains they've been dealing with are all tied together, and they work for this organization called Spectre, or they call it Spectre. And it's kind of like the forces of corruption. You know, some people might call it, you know, depending on who you are, you know, terms like the New World Order or globalists or Illuminati. But all those kind of terms are not accurate for what is really going on. Spectre is a really good term to describe what it is that they're fighting against. And they're fighting against the forces of human corruption in the elite class. It's a place where corporations, NGOs, politicians, intelligence agents, where they all kind of merge into this mafia, this global mafia that uses information and dirt on each other to control each other. It's kind of like a mafia of favors between criminals. They're true believers. They don't even really believe in money. Money, they're so rich that money is not motivating them. And they make that clear in the very first movie. I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it, but it's made clear in the very first movie that who's running the show doesn't really care about money. They just care about what you believe. And it was awesome.
The interesting thing, though, about Spectre, and we're kind of getting a little bit ahead, but that's all right.
Well,
the interesting thing about Spectre is that the first couple of movies were actually not intended for Spectre to be... I mean, they were not written that way originally, because Spectre, the organization, which I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was introduced in the Ian Fleming novel of Thunderball. Okay. Now, for many years, there had been legal contention, so the James Bond series could not use the term Spectre.
So they had to fight for that.
So they kind of had to fight for that. When they got the rights to that name back, they retconned Quantum of Solace to make it seem like it was the same organization, which I actually didn't know, because really, when you watch all four movies, because we watched them over like a 2-day period, and they go together a lot better than I realized.
It is a very seamless. The first two movies are, all the movies are very seamless. They use the same cast, even the same cast of villains. And from the very first one, though, M does says, something's happening here, something we can't see. And in the second one, they also refer to that. There's more here than meets the eye. So they were linked. It's just that maybe they couldn't state it from the very beginning because they didn't have a copyright on the term Spectre. They couldn't use the word until evidently the fourth movie.
Because like I said, they did. I mean, Spectre was the villain in the villain organization in Thunderball, I think. But yeah, so they went back later and kind of wrote it all. So like I said, when you watch them all in order, I'm actually really amazed that they didn't conceive the entire thing from the beginning, but they didn't. Yeah. And honestly, a lot of the stuff that happened, I believe it was during Quantum of Solace, that was when that big Hollywood writer strike was going on.
Yeah.
So they had a first draft of the script, but they were not allowed to hire any writers to like fix it or do any rewrites.
Right.
So they kind of had to go back and, you know, they were getting like some of the producers' input and some of the actors' input and like trying to get something put together. And the funny thing is that I was going to say, when Casino Royale first came out in 2006, the first time I saw it, I was actually on an airplane.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is not the most ideal situation because the screen is like 5 inches wide and it's like, plus I'm on an airplane, which I hate. So I wasn't really concentrating on it. So I was just kind of like, meh, whatever. Then when I saw Quantum of Solace, it didn't make much of an impression. Now, when Skyfall came out in 2012,
we actually saw
that in the theater, and I was like, wow, this is really, really good. That was like an amazing movie. So when you got all four of the movies, I said, we need to watch all of these.
Yeah.
And I actually liked all of them much better than I, you know, remembered.
Yeah,
the first two particularly.
When I first saw them, I was trying to rank them. I kind of put Casino Royale and Skyfall ahead of the other ones.
Most critics did as well.
Skyfall being the best one.
Yeah.
But having watched them so many times now, I say, no, they're all about equal. They're different. They're offering different things, but I like them all about equal. Like, for instance, I used to think Quantum of Solace was the weakest one, but now I think it's my favorite one. It has a lot of weird alchemical symbolism in it. There's a scene where, you know, Bond is always kind of like a fire symbol, and the Bond girl is always like a water symbol, where you have, you know, energy and lust and creation and fire, you know, and then you have the water symbols, which is more about wisdom. And remember, he's hooking up with the girl who was the Bolivian secret agent. And there was kind of like a love thing going on, but they were very different. Before they go into action, she's checking her weapons and getting ready, doing the wise things. And he's like, fuck it, we're just going to go in there and, you know, take them out, you know.
Yeah.
And they get in there, and basically they're inside of basically a castle made of sand. It's actually a weird hotel built out of sand blocks, built from the desert that it's built in, and it's in a desert over a huge reservoir of underground water, and it's powered by hydrogen, so you have water, and then the sand castle catches on fire, so you have stone being burned by water. It's all kinds of these weird alchemical symbols that I don't fully understand. I remember there was an alchemist in one episode where I talked about this earlier, where he came in and he explained exactly what the alchemical meaning was. And if we have any alchemists in the audience, I'd like to know exactly what it was. But it's basically what it was a castle made of sand in a desert over an ocean of water being burned by the water. With yeah. Bond and the woman inside the castle trying to fight for survival. It was some kind of an alchemical meaning. But yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, yeah. And actually, on the Quantum of Solace, I believe, Wikipedia page, the director or one of the writers or something like that did specifically say earth, air, fire, water theme.
Okay. Okay. So it is
an alcohol. Yeah.
She's been doing research on this.
So they did that on
this,
purpose.
Okay. Yeah, I could tell it was on purpose.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure exactly. It was a male, female, water, fire, earth, wind, air, all the elements. Yeah. It was an elemental thing.
Yeah. And that was definitely the direction they wanted to go.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And another thing that was in there, remember, is that when they get to Bolivia, the taxi cab driver is speaking in Spanish and there's subtitles on the bottom. He says, and he's an old man, he says, you know, basically he's saying that the spirit of his grandmother is warning him that the drought is not natural. So there's this an occult message that I haven't really totally figured out. There's an occult message to the movie.
Right.
The dead was trying to speak to Bond through this cab driver. Pretty weird.
But like I was saying, I mean, the whole... And I've probably seen over the years since I was a kid, I've probably seen most of the James Bond movies,
yeah.
You know, from the 60s to now. I always liked the series, but it wasn't a favorite of mine. But I really do like, and this is kind of, this you never see this happen, but this one's like the longest running film series ever, isn't it? The James Bond films.
Yeah, I think it's like 50 years. 50 movies,
yeah, because I think when Skyfall came out or Quantum of Solace came out, I can't remember, that was like the 50th anniversary of Dr. No or whatever. So for someone to take such a beloved and old franchise and reboot it for the modern era and have it come out so well.
Yeah.
I mean, these are easily my favorite Bond movies.
Yeah, and they do get better as they go along. The special effects and the stunts, they did get better as they went on, but they're easily... And somebody want to say it's blasphemy to go against Sean Connery Bond series. I think it tops it.
I think it tops it. I'm going to say, look, I love Sean Connery, but look, even...
Some of those movies were mediocre.
Even Sir Roger Moore came out and kind of implied, he's like, I think Sean Connery might have to move over a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when Casino Royale came out, the first Daniel Craig one.
Yeah.
Just because this was obviously a set of writers, a set of directors. Daniel Craig got all on board. You know, he really worked hard training. He wanted to do a lot of his own stunts. Obviously he didn't do the super dangerous ones, but they wanted to do... They said, we wanted to get back to largely practical effects. There are some digital effects in it, but we felt like the Pierce Brosnan ones went too far in that direction. It was too cartoony.
Yeah.
They're like, we wanted to get it back into some realism while still hearkening back to the old ones.
Yeah.
He's like, also, we wanted to concentrate more... He said, one thing we were thinking about is that international travel is not as exotic as it would have been for, you know, people in the United States or in Britain in the 60s. So it's like, we wanted to still have that element, but we wanted to focus more on the character. They're like, because people nowadays, like they like a more complex character, one that's not black and white, one that's morally gray. And we thought that was more interesting.
Speaking of black and white, Casino Royale opens with realism. It's a black and white flashback of how Bond got his 00. And basically how he did it. What he had to do to get his 00 was not some glamorous act of bravery.
Yeah, it really was not.
It's basically murdering a dude in a bathroom, in a men's room. Okay.
Yeah.
And it really affected him. And then the second one was a lot easier. And it condensed into a small flashback that took maybe not even 5 minutes. And it's an awesome scene to let you know that this is not the James Bond that you knew. All right.
Yeah.
And then when it shows the first color scene is James Bond in action on a case, and he ends up in a big parkour scene where so
with
it's very, very
everything.
With cranes and jumping, going through construction zones, and Daniel Craig and the guy that he's chasing are extremely acrobatic and very, very physical. And the scene is shot, it's very believable. So it's letting you know that this is not a pretty boy Bond. This is not a model actor doing Bond.
Who never gets dirty.
He's
just like sweeping off his suit and everything.
Yeah. And the scene ends with him executing a dude, which is just, you know.
Yeah.
This is not a clean Bond. And the original Bond was not a clean Bond. His job was to do bad things, but to serve a better, higher purpose.
Yeah.
to where you can do evil to achieve good. And that's where all this, you know, Gnosticism came in into the original books. A balance between East and West, black and white, good and evil. You know, it's somebody who's kind of above that in a certain way. And that's what the meaning of all this is. But it still affected him.
Yeah.
It still affected
him. And that was one good thing that I really like about Daniel Craig's portrayal is that even though he comes across as very steely, very cold.
It's mentally affecting him.
But you can tell that it's affecting him.
Mentally and physically.
You can see it in his face. Yeah. You can see, even though he's trying to keep his shit together, everything that's happened to him is affecting him, but he's not... really
he's enduring
outwardly it. That's a good way of putting it. He's enduring it.
I mean, he gets hurt, he stays hurt, he has to heal up, but then the wounds are still there. He has to fight these old wounds, you know. They're exotic bullet fragments that are still lodged in him from a while ago, mental scars of the past, having to avenge people that he cared about. And those people that he cared about betrayed him, but still he forgave him for the betrayal. There's a bunch of deep stuff going on.
And I really like, too, I must say, because I love Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah.
And I love that they really expanded her role in this. And really, the relationship between Bond and M is really one of the whole hearts of the series, of this new recent reboot.
M is his mother, basically.
Yeah, she's like a very maternal figure.
And M was his mother in the original source material.
Yeah.
So that's true to the material. But there's more than one M. You'll find out later what I'm talking about. That way, some of the Connery era movies are also honored in the series.
And, you know, like I said, they did, a lot of the times, Casino Royale, which pretty much sticks close to the book, Quantum of Solace is actually a partially original story. They took the title from actually an Ian Fleming short story, but it doesn't really have anything to do with the story. A lot of these are original stories, but that call back to some of his novels and aspects that were in his novels. Yeah. Like I said, I should say when Casino Royale came out.
I wanted to say something though about Quantum of Solace. Quantum of Solace is, to me, what was really cool because it's talking about the Quantum Group. The Quantum Group owned an environmental protection group in the movie that is kind of like owned by the main villain. And it's just like something that Rosa Corey talks about in The Green Mask. Oh, it's a book that a woman wrote she was a woman who got involved with a company called ICLEI, who did environmental protection stuff under the UN. But it was really more of just like a con. It was a way of stealing property from people and selling the rights away to their friends in governments. It's bizarre, but that is some of the stuff that's talked about in these movies was actually based on real cases that happened. And in Quantum of Solace, it was basically corrupt environmental protectionism. Of course, you know, environmental protection is good. You have to protect the environment. But when you see the movie, you can see that you can also use that as a mask to do evil. But anyway, whoever wrote these stories, wrote these scripts, also was kind of paying attention to things that were actually happening, kind of like, you know, behind the scenes in the shadows. You know, it's pretty cool.
Well, the reason they set that whole Quantum of Solace thing in Bolivia was because it was based on an actual water revolt that happened in Bolivia. So it was kind of based on that, which had similar sort of circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a couple of the later films in the series, too, kind of get into the whole computer hacking sort of...
Yeah, basically they're talking about Google.
Well, or like, you know, global surveillance type of thing. But of all four movies, like I said, when Casino Royale came out in 2006, it was actually the highest grossing Bond film ever at the time, until Skyfall came out. It made a lot more money. Actually, Skyfall was the first Bond movie to make over $1 billion.
Skyfall was awesome. What Skyfall was all about was about Bond fighting his shadow. Finds out that Bond comes up against a guy who was just like him, another 00.
It's like the mirror of him.
He was another 00 agent that worked for M. And M betrayed him, actually. And he got captured and tortured, and he ended up joining Spectre. And him and the forces of Spectre go after M to get revenge. And Bond has to stop this guy. And this guy is just as clever as Bond, if not, and probably in a way more powerful because he's not being restricted by an agency. He's just doing it on his own in the name of Spectre, I guess. He's doing it for his own quest for vengeance, but he's also doing it in the name of Spectre. It's pretty cool.
Plus, I love Javier Bardem. So any part he plays, he always plays such a good villain. Of course, he was in No Country for Old Men, which was like the scariest fucker ever with that hair and the cattle gun. Yeah, so he plays the villain in that one. And like I said, I think of the new four movies, and like I said, they're making a fifth one now. We haven't seen it yet, obviously, but...
can't wait.
Right. So of these four, I think Skyfall is probably my favorite. And it's funny because I would have put Spectre second before, but now that I've seen Casino Royale again, I think I'm going to put that second, Spectre third, and Quantum of Solace.
I used to try to rank them.
But it's hard.
It's hard to rank them.
Because, like I said...
Skyfall is the Skyfall has the most superficial appeal. Let's say if you're not too super into the series, if you had to just pick one that was like really entertaining to watch just because of the cinematography and the pacing of it and the action scenes and just the thrill of the movie, Skyfall would probably be on the surface the best one for a beginner to watch if you only wanted to watch one of them. I don't recommend it. I recommend starting from Casino Royale and just watching them all. But Skyfall on the surface is probably the most fun to watch for the first time. On multiple viewings, I think they all start to compare with one another real well. When I first saw Spectre, when I first saw Spectre in the theater, I was mad because I had two Chinese guys next to me that were just talking to each other the whole time in Chinese. I think one of them was trying to translate for the other one, but I just couldn't enjoy the movie, you know, and it was packed. And then I bought it on Blu-ray and I liked it a lot better, but I liked Spectre too. That was a really good movie.
My favorite part of Spectre was the opening with that long opening sequence that said of the Day of the Dead. That was a beautiful, beautiful sequence.
Yeah, Mexico. It made Mexico City look really cool.
Yeah, that's kind of the cool thing is that even though this is, you know, you can use the cliche gritty reboot or whatever, but it's still glamorous, yet it makes even like crappy looking places look really glamorous.
Good. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if something looks decayed and gross and everything.
And Mexico City looks kind of decayed.
But it still looked really... glamorous.
Everybody dressed up for Day of the Dead.
There was like a big parade with all the skeletons and everything.
Really cool.
And that whole thing with the helicopter thing and holy shit, that was amazing.
And Bond's there to assassinate a dude in his costume. It's fucking pretty cool.
But I think the coolest thing about this, like I said, you can watch, these movies are fine as standalone movies.
Yeah, you can.
But when we watched all four of them...
Back to back, man.
Back to back, like over 2 days... There's so much like that they pick up from the older stories.
You gotta have a good memory for faces because
that you really don't. That you really don't get if you see them years apart when they come out.
Because some of the bad guys are used over and over again, and it all ties together, and you don't know their names. And eventually, you do, and then eventually they become major characters. You're like, oh, the dude from movie one was actually like really important to movie three and four.
Right.
You have to see it to understand.
The whole arc of Bond's character from his kind of inexperience at the beginning, his betrayal by Vesper Lynd. You get, you know, his other betrayals, his relationship developing with M.
Yeah.
And you kind of just get this whole, you know, the introduction of some of the other iconic characters in the series as it goes on.
Yeah.
And you kind of get a sense of his character arc and his kind of growth, you know what I mean? Which is cool. And you don't really get that when you're just seeing them
and
one at a time.
And Spectre, which is the newest one, is still really contemporary. It's still real relevant today because it eventually, in Spectre, they introduced a famous Bond character of Blofeld. Blofeld is, you know, and he's
not... It was Donald Pleasant's played him
In the other movies, it was Donald Pleasant with the scar on his eye, and that was the basis for Dr. Evil.
From
Austin Powers.
From the Austin Powers movie.
But Blofeld, in this one, owns a company that is basically what they're talking about is Google. And Google, or Blofeld's company, I'm not going to use the word Google, but Blofeld's company is using its power over elected officials to get his intel company major contracts with all the nations of the world to replace all of their intelligence agencies. So this is how Blofeld and Spectre is going to get rid of the CIA, MI6, and all the intel units of the world so Spectre can take its place and dominate mankind,
and
basically.
And they can just watch everybody.
Through
global surveillance.
Through your cell phones and your smart TVs and all the cameras placed across Europe. And Spectre will be the intel agency. And it basically, if you know the history of Silicon Valley and Google, you know, Google has merged with the intel agencies, you know. So is Lockheed Martin and many other companies. But that's what they're talking about. So basically, Blofeld is kind of a Bill Gates type character, right? like an evil Bill Gates, really.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're getting. But what I was going to say is that I really like the way they mirror the themes, like particularly in Spectre, where, you know, they're trying to introduce something called the Nine Eyes, which basically a global surveillance. And there's, oh, it's going to fight. We're going to fight terrorism and all this other stuff. And, you know, there's this kind of shadowy organization who are doing all these terrorist things to encourage people. Yes, we need more surveillance so we can prevent terrorism, the terrorism attacks that we did.
Yeah.
I like that one of the arguments that they're making, oh, this is global surveillance, you know, it's the 21st century, field agents like the 007 program, oh, it's out of date.
Yeah.
And I like that they tied that in with Bond being all beat up from like the last one. And he's like, and you, so you're almost feeling like, personally, he's beat up, he's worn out, he's getting older, he, you know, he comes back and he can't pass his physical, he can't even pass the mental, but M kind of skates and like lets him go out back out in the field anyway because she believes in him. And so I like that they tied in this whole old-fashioned versus new, and then just made it this kind of complicated, complex thing that tied in with what was going on with his character.
Because when you think about it, what would a traditional agent like 007, how could he stack up against Google, all right?
Yeah.
Or how could he stack up against drone strikes, you know?
But I like that they acknowledged that, you know, the type of evil that they're talking about with the global surveillance could be used for good also because of the character of Q. And I like that they introduced the character of Q, who was actually introduced in Skyfall, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like that they kind of made him this very young, you know, nerdy, like a computer programmer type of guy. And I like, too, that he's focused not so much on, you know, the gadgets. Like in the old, there are gadgets, but
they're more very realistic,
believable gadgets. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, it's some cigarette that fires
cars.
Invisible cars and stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
Which I think the original series suffered a little bit from.
It did.
So this one, it's still everything you want from a Bond movie. You know, there's exotic locations, there's crazy, like over the top action.
Yeah.
There's, you know, gorgeous women, but they updated it in a way that doesn't make it seem like they just updated it for updating's sake, but they actually deepened the character, broadened the character, made it more realistic. So it didn't seem so much like a cartoon or like cardboard.
Yeah.
Cutout
and he does play those old James Bond, Sean Connery kind of sexual innuendo games with women, but they play it back with him and they're obviously playing. They're playing and they're doing kind of like mental arm wrestling games with each other because it's between agents. They're trying to get underneath each other's skin. You know, and they'll use sex to do it. You know, even villains did do it.
Because I think that was something, I mean, not all of the old Bond movies were like this, but it did seem like a lot of the old Bond movies, you know, they had the Bond girl. They were just kind of there to be pretty and were there to be seduced by Bond. The new ones, I think, is kind of more
realistic. They're not really like that,
They're not, I mean, they're beautiful and sexy and they use sex to get what they want sometimes, but they are also equal to him.
Yeah.
They're just as intelligent.
Kinda.
Depends
on who it is.
It depends on who it is.
Depends on who it is and what their job was.
Right.
Right.
And so I like that they kind of had, I mean, not all of them are badasses. It's not like that.
Some of them were just accountants, like member.
Right.
You know, they were still like agents, but they were mostly accountants.
Yeah, some of them worked in offices. Right. Some of them, you know, and one of the characters who wasn't, you know, in Spectre was actually a, you know, a doctor.
Yeah.
They were all just as smart as him. They, you know, they had different talents.
Exactly.
And I like that they did that.
Yeah,
they didn't really take any shit from him.
And that's kind of the way Spectre was. They each one had special talents. Like
Le
Chiffre, he was, you know, in the very first one, he's just a mathematical genius. He could count cards in a card game. He could handle bank transactions. And you know, remember he did all those like numerical things
in
his head, you know? But he made him almost unbeatable in cards. And then, you know, some of them are computer scientists. The guy who ran a quantum group just was a guy who could smooze and use political propaganda to his advantage. You know, just each one of them had their own strengths and weaknesses.
And can we just talk about, I mean, Mads Mikkelsen, who played Le Chiffre in Casino Royale, yeah. What a scary dude. That I love that guy. Yeah, he is so awesome.
And his poker face was just terrifying.
Yeah, I know. He's like such a scary dude. He's good in everything, but I really did like him in this. Like, all the villains in this were really good.
Yeah, all of them were good.
And I like Christoph Waltz, too, in Spectre was also very good. But I like him in everything. He's really a good actor. Oh, and can I just say, I kind of make a point of this right now, being a graphic designer, all of the title sequences of these new ones are gorgeous.
Yeah,
with Casino Royale being my favorite. I mean, that is an amazing title sequence. I could just like watch that on a loop forever.
They're great.
I like the Spectre one too.
They're great movies.
With the tentacles.
Great movies on a lot of different levels, a lot of symbolism, a lot of occult messages in them, a lot of political messages, philosophical messages, fantastic story writing. Yeah, I've been searching for my perfect series, movie series. Sometimes I say, well, maybe it's the Back to the Future series, or, you know, maybe it was Beverly Hills Cop. No, I actually kind of think the Daniel Craig James Bond is the best series out of all series for me.
Just, yeah, the ones he was in, I really, really do like him. And like I said, I do recommend that you kind of watch them all.
Very educational.
Because what they did with that character, I mean, this is a character from, you know, a different era.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were able to update it while still paying homage to the original is really amazing. And the fact that they really expanded on the mythos.
Yeah.
And he really embodies that character now.
The series actually just shows that the British are kicking ass over Hollywood, if you ask me. These guys can write, they can act, they can shoot a film. It has a very European flavor to it, but they've taken ideas that kind of came from the air, kind of came from the American action movies, and they've not only perfected it, but surpassed it. This is just a dominant series, if you ask me. Yeah. It's just very
dominant. And like
dominant.
I said, pretty much all four of the movies in the latest series have made quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
Casino Royale and Skyfall were the highest rated, both with critics, and they made the most money. But also, both the other two really did well also.
Yeah, you guys got to get these all on Blu-ray. The Blu-rays are fantastic. The Blu-rays are not expensive. You can get these Blu-rays used in mint condition for like $3 delivered off of eBay because they made so many of them. The only ones that I think is still expensive is Spectre. Expect to pay about $20 delivered for Spectre.
Yeah.
Mine's a Spectre Steelbook, and it comes in this kind of this matte black. It looks really cool.
They really did a nice job.
Yeah, but you guys got to get up to speed on Spectre. You got to get up to speed on James Bond because the fifth movie's coming out soon. So.
I'm really excited about it, which is funny because, like I said, the
original
series.
I'll go to the theater for that.
Yeah. The original series of James Bond, it was like I'd seen most of them over the years. But, you know, it wasn't ever like a favorite. I was never like rushing out to see them. But these new ones are really kind of something special. And I really kind of have to admire that they were able to do that in this day and age, like make the character relevant.
Right.
I also want to say, all four of the themes, the Bond themes, because, you know.
Theme songs, they're all real good. Yeah.
All very good.
Really good.
Which none of them are really a traditional Bond theme.
No, they do their own thing.
Not really. Yeah. But I like the shit that they did with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
the closest to a traditional Bond theme song would have been Skyfall.
Skyfall, the Adele song. Yeah. Yeah. Which that's a beautiful song. But that is the closest to a traditional, but they're all good. Probably the most off the wall one was the one from Quantum of Solace, the Jack White and Alicia Keys.
Yeah, yeah, I like that one.
I did too. It's kind of the strangest one. It almost has like a little bit of a 70s funky kind of vibe.
70s funk kind of the thing with rock and almost kind of a weird kind of R&B kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jack White has said that his favorite Bond theme was On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Okay, yeah.
So he kind of used that as an inspiration.
I think one of the weirdest ones is the one from Spectre, though. That one's very kind of downbeat and kind of ominous, weird male kind of operatic type of vocals.
Yeah, that's Sam Smith, I think.
Sam Smith.
The interesting thing, though,
but I like it.
Which I didn't know. Originally, Radiohead were approached to do the theme for Spectre. They turned in a song that they had written back in the 90s but had never produced. They said, no, we don't like that. Then Radiohead wrote another one that was just called Spectre. And the ironic thing was they didn't use it because they thought it was too melancholy. But then the song that they did use for Spectre is really melancholy.
Yeah,
which, so I thought that was very odd.
Real
like,
down.
Wow, the Radiohead
it's called
must
the right,
be really sad.
It's called The Writings on the Wall. And, and it's referring to Bond's name being on the wall at Dead Agents. Because as the movies continue, all four of them, there's this sense of Bond's running out of time and running out of energy. And he's running out of luck. And he's running out of everything.
Yeah, that's like, like I said, it's kind of a character.
And he's heading towards the grave. It's a very life and death theme through all four movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, we should mention Chris Cornell doing the theme for...
Loved it.
Kissing awesome. Around, which that's a great song. And like I said, that's a great song tied in with the animation of the theme sequence
exactly. with all the cards. And it's setting sets the stage for this new Bond series. Are you ready to die?
Yeah.
Are you ready to kill other people? Or are you ready to die for this? Because that's where you're going. I've seen other people die, and you ain't shit compared to those people I saw die. So you gonna die.
And I love that the song is called You Know My Name.
You Know My Name. And then
he never says it. At the very end of the movie, they do the theme, and then he says Bond, James
Bond's Bond. Face. End of the first. Yeah. If you want to be impressed, you can look at that.
Really so much thought put into it.
You can watch really the opening sequence for free on YouTube with that song. And then, You Know My Name. You Know My Name. And then, Daniel Craig's face coming out, you'll see what I'm talking about. Pretty cool.
But yeah, I really like, it's really well thought out, well put together. So, kudos to everyone involved. Yeah. And we're very excited for the new one that's coming out. Is it coming out this year or next year?
I think they said it was 2019, 2020.
Okay, so next year, sometime.
And the 2019.
We'll see. They usually really keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
Like they won't even tell you what the name of it is. They won't tell you what it's about. They won't tell you which one it's based on or anything.
I would say 2020 is probably when it will actually.
Yeah, because I'm amazed that they actually get this shit done with all the special effects they have to build, and they built all these sets and all this other kind of stuff.
They weren't going to do it. Spectre was supposed to be the last one because the story ends. There is an ending.
Pretty much, it does wrap up.
But there's a way to bring him back. And
a
very powerful way of bringing him back. I read how they planned to bring him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I liked it. I mean, they wrapped up the story. They left it a little open-ended so that if they wanted to make another one, they could. It wouldn't just be stupid that they had a retcon. But there was also a natural wrap-up.
Right.
If they didn't make another one, then it would just be a contained story.
Well, Spectre was not defeated, so it was not...
Yeah, so like I said, they left it out. Yeah,
they left it open.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I think it's going to be good.
Should be.
Yeah. So that'll do it for our review of the Daniel Craig 007 movies. Check them out if you haven't checked them out already. Like I said, watch them all in order because, you'll appreciate them a lot more that way. Remember, if you like the show, to like, share, subscribe, and share with all your friends. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/13o'clock, or you can go to our blog, which is 13o'clockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd like to make a one-time donation. Also, check out some of our new t-shirts at www.zazzle.com/13o'clock. I just added four new ones, so hopefully they're up by the time this comes out. And that will do it for this latest installment of our movie retrospective series. See you next time. Bye.